Continuing our sermon series on the seven deadly sins. And today I'd like to look with you at the deadly sin of gluttony. Gluttony. Have you ever heard a sermon on gluttony before? When was the last time you thought on gluttony? Is that really actually a deadly sin? And if you think about it, the other ones, pride, obviously evil, lust, obviously evil, greed, obviously evil. But gluttony? I mean, we never think much about gluttony. Is it really a sin? Is it really deadly? And if so, how? Are you guarding yourself against it? And how did Jesus conquer it for us? So let's take a look today at the deadly sin of gluttony and see what we can learn about that today by God's word. First of all, have you ever really heard a sermon on gluttony? I know I preached on it some years ago. That was the only time I ever heard a sermon on gluttony, I think. And I haven't preached much since then on it. I don't think anywhere else I've ever heard a sermon on gluttony and drunkenness, which goes along with it. Therefore, I think the first question we need to ask is this really a deadly sin? Let's take a look and see what God's word teaches us about it. Proverbs 23, verse 19. We read there, "Hear, my son, and be wise, and direct your mind in the way. Be not among wine-bibbers, or among gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags." So, according to that one, it's obviously not good, right? It's going to make you drowsy, it's going to cover you with poverty and rags. Not good. Gluttony is a bad thing, according to God. Proverbs 28. Gets even more extreme. Verse 7. "He who keeps the law is a wise son, but a companion of gluttons shames his father." What does that teach you? Gluttony is only for fools, and if you do it, you're not going to keep the law. Okay, so it's definitely a sin. How deadly is it? Deuteronomy 21. "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who won't obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they chastise him, will not give heed to them, then his father and mother shall take hold of it and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gate of the place where he lives. And they shall say to the elders of his city, 'This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard.'" Wow, what do you do with such a guy? Well, "then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear, says the Lord." So this is a deadly sin, obviously. It's a horrible thing. Gluttony and drunkenness, by the way, go together hand in hand. They're basically food and drink, but gluttony can cover both of them. So Jesus, even if you think about it, was charged, they tried to charge him with this to destroy him. Jesus said, "John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'He, behold, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" They tried to call Jesus a glutton and a drunkard because he was eating at feasts with the sinners and drinking wine. But it was a false charge. But obviously then, gluttony is a sin, a bad one that Christians must avoid. That much we can tell so far. But what is gluttony? It's not a word we often use. What is this sin? Well, gluttony basically has to do with overdoing it in food and drink. But it's more than that. It often goes with drunkenness. And it can be other things as well, but it's mostly about food and drink. What's the problem with that? Well, the problem is it's an overindulgence in excessive food and drink, where you're going after it to such a good degree that you're going beyond what is right. You're no longer seemly and with decorum and temperance, but you're going after food and drink in an extreme way, where it interferes with your walk with God and even can cause you to forget Christ and the way. Going after food and drink in such a way as to harm your faith in Christ. That would be a problem, right? It's beyond what is right. Now, before we go any further, we're going to say a little more about that definition, but before we go further, we always have an animal, right? For the seven deadly sins. Pride was a peacock. Greed was a pack rat. Lust last week was a dancing cobra. What do you think we can choose for gluttony?
Pig.
Oh, you guys are so good. It's a pig. And maybe you might even say a fat hog. Okay. A pig. You know, we even use words like that, right? Like, we're going to go out and pig out tonight. Or, I'm such a pig, look at what I'm eating. So gluttony, yeah, would be a fat pig, or a pig, you could say. That's the symbol for it, because that's a great symbol for excessive, overindulgent eating and drinking in such a way that it will harm our faith and turn us from the love of God, rather to the love of the things of this world. Ultimately, it's about setting up food and drink instead of God as your God, which turns food and drink into an idol. An idol, bad, very bad. Stay away from idols. Don't turn food and drink into your idol and your God. So now, before we go on again, I have to say one more thing. This could be a dangerous sermon for me to preach, because, if you misinterpret it. You know, Beth was telling me some time ago that a lot of women, some men, but most women will think about their weight every day, kind of all day long. And that's something that's very much in our culture. This is not about your weight. Okay? Say that. Not about your weight. It's not even about necessarily eating too much food or drink, although that can go along with it, as we'll see. But I don't want you to misinterpret. I'm going to be a politician. You know how all the politicians are always like, let me be clear. That's always the word, let me be clear. Well, this is the clear. This is not about your weight. This is not something to make, you know, insult to injury. If you're struggling with your weight and you're having trying and you're feeling bad about it, God is not against you. Don't go saying, oh my goodness, I'm having trouble with my weight and now God's against me. No. That's not what gluttony is about. Don't let that trouble you. If gluttony were about weight, then what would be the solution to this great and deadly sin? Well, go on a diet. It would be the Atkins diet or the South Beach diet or Weight Watchers. Friends, would that ever be a cure for any sin in the Bible, to go on a popular diet? No! So this is not about weight. Don't worry about that. And it's not even necessarily about eating or delighting in food and drink, or maybe even a lot of it. It is about a person's attitude towards food and drink. It's about your heart. In Romans chapter 14, Paul says, the kingdom of God does not mean food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so don't misinterpret this message. Gluttony has to do with food and drink and excess, but it's really about the attitude of your heart towards food and drink, not turning it into an idol or having so much of those other things that it turns your heart from God and makes you forget Him and turns food and drink into an idol. So gluttony is about a wrong attitude towards food and drink and excess, especially. So if it's about a wrong view of food and drink, what's a right view of food and drink for us Christians? About food and drink, that is. Well, food and drink, are they good?
Yes.
Absolutely. Look at the beginning of the Bible. God said to Adam and Eve, behold, I've given you every green plant for food. Yielding seed, etc., upon the face of the earth, you shall have them for food. Then after the flood in Genesis 9, God also gave us all the creatures. As I gave you the plants, God says, now I give you all things, all the creatures. You can eat those too. And Jesus declared in Mark 7 that all foods are clean. So you can eat whatever you want. You don't have to live kosher. You don't have to live like the Old Testament Jews, skipping on shrimp and not eating lobster and that kind of stuff, or pig. But all foods are clean, but, you know, guess what? all things are lawful, not all things are helpful, right? So you might not want to live on Twinkies, Ho-Hos, and Ring-Dings. Probably wouldn't be good for you. You can do it without sin, but go after the good foods, probably a better way to do it. But food is a gift of God to you. It's not a sin if you partake with thankfulness. For everything created by God is good, says Paul, 1 Timothy 4. And nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving, for then it's consecrated by the word of God in prayer. If you partake of the food with the right heart, go for enjoy. That's the gift of God. Drink likewise. Of course, we got to drink, right? I mean, you can go 40 days without food. You can go 4 days without water. You got to have drink. God gives you the rains. He gives you the rivers to drink. How about alcohol, though? You know, some Christians are going to say, that's wrong. We're teetotalers. All alcohol is a sin. That's not what God's word says. God says in Psalm 104, he gave wine to gladden the heart of man. And Jesus, of course, you know, in John chapter 2, at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, turned water into wine. And so wine itself, even the best of wine, he made it, is not a sin. It's a gift of God to be received with thanks and praise to God and joy in our hearts. And how about abundance? Can you have a lot of food? Can you have a lot of drink? Is that okay? Well, God, at times, you know, we can do that because at times we have in the Bible feasts. The feast of the Passover, the feast of tabernacles, the feast of the first fruits, where God says, come and enjoy abundance with joy in your hearts to me. Gratitude, thanksgivings, and songs of praise. You know, enjoy the abundance I give you. And how about wine? Well, at the wedding in Cana in Galilee, that was not just a drop or two. Jesus had 6 stone jars, each holding 20 or 30 gallons, which means he made about 180 gallons of the best wine you could have ever imagined for the celebration of this couple. So, and praise to God. So it's not that food is wrong, or drink is wrong, or even wine is wrong. These are gifts of God given to us to enjoy them, even in abundance, at times in abundance. That's okay. So. What is gluttony about then? What's God concerned with here? What is the deadly sin of gluttony? Well, watch this. Gluttony is an overindulgence in excessive food and drink in such a way that it interferes with, harms, hurts, or kills your walk with God. It's where you start to eat and drink in such excess that it goes into what is unseemly. That's an old word, right? Where you're no longer partaking with temperance and modesty and an alert mind and wholesomeness, but you are basically going after it in such a way you're turning it into debauchery. What's that mean? It's an extreme indulgence in the pleasures of the things of this life, i.e. food and drink here, such that going after them, you are loving them rather than loving God. And it's destroying your close walk with Christ. Gluttony, therefore, is a heart problem. It turns the heart away from God to the love of the things of this life and world, namely food and drink, in such excess that it turns your heart from God, even makes you forget God. Therefore, it's a sin. Therefore, it is a deadly, deadly sin. It's a party-hearty attitude. You ever say that? Party-hearty? It's that kind of wild, party-hardy attitude that is gluttonous, going into these things in excess, where it's not respectful anymore, or reverent, but rather it's setting up food and drink as your idol, your pleasure, and your God. And a deadly sin this is. Wrong, evil, and deadly. It can kill you. Is that really so, though? You only hear one sermon every once in a while on gluttony, so how can it really be that deadly, right? Can I show you, if this actually really happens, are people actually really, truly in modern world killed by gluttony? Is it really deadly? How about an example? You want an example?
Yes.
Just follow me if you would, if you want to see it, down to any college campus, a frat house on a Friday or a Saturday night. What do you find there but gluttons and drunkards? Whooping it up in an excess of intake, right? and their bodies of food and drink to the absolute neglect of God and estrangement from Him. All right, it could even lead to damnation. For picture it, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, the dominoes arrive, right? Hundreds of pizzas arrive at the frat house, followed by wheeling in truckloads of kegs. The music starts, you've all probably seen this. The house begins to rock, and what happens? It's a feast for the flesh, for bodies, for eating, for drinking, for carousing, reveling, partying, and getting stuffed and getting completely drunk, engaging then also in all kinds of sin. What is this but gluttony and drunkenness? Wild partiers, drinking and eating to their heart's delight. But what's it doing? It's destroying them. It's killing their souls, potentially their salvation. They're not partaking of these things with a reverent attitude, with temperance, for alertness of mind, to the praise of God, with songs of joy to Him, but rather, this has become their God. It is what their heart is set upon, the life of this world and its joys and pleasures. It is a killer. Say killer.
Killer. Killer.
Kills a lot of people. Does it kill even Christians? I don't know, maybe some of you have had, hopefully not, but you've had children or grandchildren. Well, let's just say Christians in general, young Christian people, men and women, boys and girls, they're living a righteous life, they've grown up in the church, they're on fire for the Lord. They go to college, and what happens? A short time, they're invited to these parties. They go after gluttony, imbibing of wine to an excessive degree, and what happens shortly thereafter? Their faith is destroyed. They go in as innocent, beautiful, on fire Christians, and they come out as flaming, liberal atheists. Happens at a lot of colleges for a lot of people. Why? It's the killer of gluttony that has come, the deadly sin, to destroy them. And so, after a short time, they fall from Christ. So they are drowned in a sea of beer and washed in an ocean of 1,000 pizzas. All right, does that only happen on college campuses, though? If you're past college, you good to go? Check mark, you all set? No, this can happen in all kinds of places. How about an all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet? How about at a cruise ship, which for a lot of people is just a floating restaurant and a floating bar? How about your own homes? It can happen there too. Not that these things are sin, or even a college or frat party is necessarily a sin, but they can be. If you don't partake of these things with thanksgiving, moderation, alertness of mind, what is seemly for a Christian, remaining alert with joy and a gratitude in your heart, and covering all these things with prayer for a zeal for good life in Christ, great! But the Chinese buffet, or the cruise ship, or the frat party, or your own home could become a place where your heart rather goes after these things to such extent that you start to forget God. You wander from Christ, and you're all of a sudden in the delusion of the love of the pleasures of this life, and you have an idol. If that's the case, Houston, we've got a problem, a big one. Why again? Let's just consider, how can it kill you? This deadly sin of gluttony. Well, number one, it could kill your body, right? If you overeat in excess like this, too much food really does lead to sickness. Your body doesn't like it, ultimately. If you have found honey, says God, eat only enough for you, lest you be sated with it and vomit it. You don't want to do that. How about drinking? Well, you'll say, they struck me, but I was not hurt. They beat me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake? I will seek another drink. Don't go there. It's bad for your body. Secondly, it can hurt or wound your witness for Christ. Imagine if you're a young Christian going to college. You want to save your fellow students. Bring them to the Savior. And then you get into gluttony and drunkenness. And then you try to witness to them. They're going to say, you? Look what you did last Friday night. It's Saturday. I saw you. Why would I ever listen to you? It can destroy your witness for Christ. Thirdly, it can destroy your relationship with others. I mean, just living on food, what kind of friends are those if that's all they love you for? And alcohol in excess certainly destroys lives and many marriages. Fourthly, though, and here's a big one, okay? It can destroy your zeal, your alertness in the faith, your vigilance, your sharpness of mind, your ambition for God and following Christ, and it can lead you astray with no watchfulness for the devil. Okay, here, let me ask you a question. Thanksgiving, right? We eat a lot of food. It's a stuffing match, right? Let's see who can eat more. Turkey, potatoes, ice cream, and whipped cream, right? Jenny, we did that, you know, with the whipped cream. How do you feel? Oh, Christ Lutheran, after a stuffing match, do you feel like you're ready to run a marathon and win a race? Do you feel like you're ready to fight a major battle and win a war? No, you feel like just going to sleep, falling down, there's no energy left in you. If you want energy and alertness, which we must have, because the devil's not sleeping, be temperate in how you eat and drink, that you be ready for the fight. And I've kind of interviewed people over the years, strangely enough, because I still haven't figured it out, but the people that have the most energy that never stop, energizer bunnies, they do not eat really very much or drink that much. They just go all day. Eating and drinking takes a lot of energy, so consider that one. If you want to be strong, alert, and full of energy, maybe consider that temperance. And worst of all, it can become your god, the god of the belly. Have people really fall into this? Only like the whole world fell into sin originally over food. Eve is in the garden, and when she saw that the tree was good for food, the light to the eyes, etc. Oh, gluttony, I must eat. The god of the belly, the god of my stomach, she ate, and then bang, everything fell into destruction through food. Israel fell by food in the wilderness. Remember, Moses is getting the Ten Commandments up on the mountain. And the people were down there and waiting for him. They didn't know why he was delayed. And so the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to dance. Let's have a big party. Moses had to come down and say, what is this sound in the camp? Is it war? No, it's the sound of reveling and partying that I hear. They tested God in their hearts in the wilderness by demanding the food they craved. Let's go back to Egypt rather than follow this God because we want food. Don't fall by food. For Esau sold his birthright for a single meal of porridge. And you know that after, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. In other words, if we go after these food and drink, which are good, but in excess, in a sinful way, it could even steal the kingdom of God from you. And I wrote this, see if you like this. Food can consume you, and it can make you infatuated with the pleasures of this life, drunkenness as well. So don't go there. Paul says, be warned, don't you know that the unrighteous won't inherit the kingdom of God? And the unrighteous includes idolaters and drunkards. Peter says, let the time that's past suffice for doing all that kind of stuff. Living in licentiousness, passions, drunkenness, revels, carousing, and lawless idolatry. That's then, now you're in Christ. Let's go the new way, says Peter. And Jesus says, in Luke 21, he says, rather take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life. And that day, my coming, come upon you suddenly like a snare. For we will come upon all who dwell upon the face of the earth. But watch, be alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. So, I want you to be alert. God wants you to be alert. I want myself to be alert. So let's be careful that we use food and drink to be alert in the faith and not drowsy and forgetting God. So what should we do instead? Then how can we conquer this deadly sin? Here's a couple of suggestions or words from the Lord. Number one, receive all of your food and drink, whatever you have to eat and drink, with joy to God, thanksgiving, gratitude, and consecrated with prayer. You know what? If you do that, you're golden. You've got everything from God as a gift. You have the right heart. God rejoices. You rejoice. Do do that. Secondly, use whatever food and drink you do partake of for your health and alertness of mind and in the faith and your walk with Christ. Remember Daniel in the Old Testament? He refused to partake of and defile himself with the king's rich food. Remember that? Mm-hmm. With the wine with which he drank. And so he says, we don't want it to have that stuff. The chief eunuch is like, well, if I just give you vegetables and stuff which you want, you're going to be weak, and then the king's going to lop off my head because I'm not taking care of you. Test for 10 days, says Daniel. We'll see how we look. At the end of 10 days, we read, they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh. By the way, that's good, right? Weight, it's not about weight. Fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's rich food. So use the food that God gives you for the strength of your bodies, joy to God, and for alertness of mind. You can do it. And what is it there for? And thirdly, if you do have a problem with food and drink, the God of the belly, here's a great way to conquer it. Fast. We're in Lent, right? Fast for a day. Show God and say, hey, look, God, you're number one, not this God of the belly. And a fast can do that. It can make you stronger and clean out your body at the same time. Fourthly, ask him for help, because God's right there to help you. He wants you to help you on these things. And he wants you to know that better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. You know? And then if you do feel that you've sinned in this at any time in your life, or even today, then just confess it. Come to God, asking him to forgive you, restore you, and raise you up to newness of life. Because guess what? Jesus came for this sin too, to set you free from it. And Jesus himself conquered gluttony. Did he really? Mm-hmm. He did. Matthew chapter 4, when the devil tempted him when he was hungry, after fasting 40 days in the wilderness, he said, if you're the Son of God, command this stone to become loaves of bread. Jesus answered, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In other words, food and the God of the belly is not my God. God is my God. Conquered the devil and gluttony. He said it at a later time, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. And what was that work? Your salvation and mine. He went to the cross. He died for your sins. He rose again to forgive you this sin and all the others as well, to save you. And as a result, he became the best food and drink himself you could ever drink or eat. He says, look, I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he'll live forever. Again, I am the bread. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and not die. If you're hungry, if you're thirsty, come to me and eat. Come to me and drink, Jesus says. You're going to be filled with the best food and drink ever. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. If you want to go in excess, in a super indulgent way, eat of Jesus, drink of his salvation and his gospel, and you will be filled with alertness, energy, strength, health, and salvation in the greatest, most extreme way. So in conclusion then, what should we say of gluttony? Rejoice in Jesus Christ. He's done all these things for you. And as for earthly food and drink, great! Gift of God, enjoy it with thanksgiving, a good heart, the strength of your body, communion with others as you walk, and we walk together to the kingdom to come. Remember, the kingdom of God, it isn't food and drink. It's righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. So, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, says Paul, do it all to the glory of God. Until that day when we will partake of the greatest feast of all time in the kingdom to come, Jesus Christ, his presence, his table, and joys there in the kingdom forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.